This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. Kim St. Ajan here alongside Carl Middleman and Sue Thomas with us as well, checking your traffic on the way back and forth to work. A busy hour for us here. We got Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday coming up here at about 8:22, and our buddy Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the hour, as we do on every Thursday. Good to get Griff on here. He's been dealing with more of these immigration issues at the border and what's going on down there. Maybe the Guantanamo Bay story with Pete Hegseth. So we'll get to all of that for you here in just a few minutes. But as you know, and we've talked about this quite a bit, Kim and I both, and Kim from personal experience and losing her job at Channel 4, were impacted by the COVID vaccine and mandates and all of that. And we've talked about that quite a bit on the show. There is a new book out called The Pfizer Papers, Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity, authored in part by Dr. Naomi Wolf, and we're fortunate enough to get her on the phone this morning. Dr. Wolf, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for this book, because it seems to sort of open the door here to what a lot of us suspected and worried about. And your findings here kind of draw the conclusion that Pfizer knew a lot more about maybe the side effects of this vaccine than any of us knew.
Yes, well, that's certainly the case. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because the reality is so, you know, so difficult to even put into words. It's so extreme. But basically, you're right. Our project was initiated by Steve Bannon, who, when in 2022, Pfizer was forced to, well, actually, the FDA was forced to release 450,000 documents, internal Pfizer documents, because a lawyer, Aaron Seary, had won a court order against them, compelling this disclosure. Bannon knew that there was no way a journalist could go through all that material, and also that it was too technical for any journalist to understand. So he tasked me with the project that brought about this book, which was a call to what became 3,250 doctors and scientists worldwide who volunteered now for nearly 3 years to write the reports that you find in this book, Pfizer Papers. And unfortunately, what they found is that this is the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history, with Pfizer knowing that the side effects were catastrophically different, far more severe, far more vast in number than the, you know, warnings on the CDC site or, you know, Pfizer's own warnings. And, you know, knowing that there were 1,225 deaths within 3 months, you know, half of the deaths in two of our reports were within 48 hours of the injection, knowing that the vaccine didn't work to stop COVID. They concluded a month into the rollout that the vaccine failed, failure of efficacy and vaccine failure, in their words. And in fact, the third most common side effect in the Pfizer papers is COVID. And, you know, a number of other kind of horrific outcomes and headlines, which I can go into. But I should stress in our brief time together that the centerpiece of the Pfizer documents is that these injections are an attack on human fertility in like a 360 degree, every aspect and stage of human reproduction, this injection attacks.
Because there was a huge uptick in the number of miscarriages. I know many women were saying their menstrual cycles were impacted, and it made it seem like the women who had that impact were kind of told, well, it's not what you think. Your menstrual cycle is just kind of being weird. It has nothing to do with the shot. But your findings say it absolutely did, right?
Oh, without question. Mm-hmm. And that, me as a woman, this is one of the most horrific parts of these disclosures. Pfizer, well, I was deplatformed by X at the, or then Twitter, at the behest of the White House and the CDC, as it turns out, in 2021 for warning on Twitter that women were reporting menstrual symptoms upon receiving the mRNA injection. And, you know, this is women's eyewitness accounts of their own bodies, right? Which, as a feminist who's covered women's sexual and reproductive health for 40 years, listen to women, right? That's how we found out about silicone breast implant symptoms and how we found out about problems with IUDs. And like, this is like a basic, like, women should be allowed to say what's happening to them themselves, right? But I was deplatformed and globally smeared, and actually Elon Musk just settled with me for having done that. But having said that, Pfizer knew that they were silencing me for saying something that turned out to be a really important warning. And I should say Pfizer via the White House and the FDA, because what Pfizer was doing was creating a chart in the Pfizer documents of tens of thousands of women showing horrible menstrual problems. So there's this chart that shows, 15,000 women are bleeding every day, 10,000 women have two periods a month now, 7,500 women have no periods at all, meaning they're totally infertile. Here are women hemorrhaging, here are women passing tissue, here are, 10-year-old girls bleeding upon being injected, here are 85-year-old women bleeding upon being injected. And they just wrote it down. They just took note, but they knew that they were causing these catastrophic harms. And I'm not a medical doctor, but I took eighth grade biology. So I knew in 2021 that if women were reporting problems with their menstrual cycles, that there would be fertility problems down the road. Now in 2025, you're rightly noting 13-20% drop in live births, horrible miscarriage.
Which is so sad, and it's crazy because you can't sue the companies like Pfizer for this. There's immunity for them, which is insane.
Correct. This is the PrEP Act. It's one of the worst pieces of legislation we've ever passed. It's a 1989 law that basically says no matter how badly you get hurt or if a loved one dies because of a pharmaceutical intervention, you can't sue them. They have complete legal impunity. So hopefully with RFK Jr. at HHS, that will change. That would be a big sea change. But there are ways, a lot of people, we have two lawsuits against Pfizer nonetheless, because like fraud, you can sue them for. A couple of attorneys general are suing them for, or taking action against them for, false advertising. I think they've committed trafficking. I mean, there are ways still to get at them legally, but you're right. You can't sue them for getting hurt.
Yeah, and what a shame. Of course, Dr. Naomi Wolf, our guest right now, author of the Pfizer papers, that you have a government that can't be held responsible for it. You have a company that can't be held responsible for it. A 20% drop in live births. And how about the ongoing, the lingering effects from people who took this because they were mandated to, or they bought into the fact that there weren't going to be any problems? I've noticed, and it was an observation I made, the spike in the number of otherwise healthy young men who were dropping dead on athletic fields. And there's got to be a connection there, right?
Oh, it's so sad. I mean, the Pfizer papers, our book, explains exactly what's happening. So many people listening probably have loved ones who have cancers that are moving very fast. Strokes, dementias, Bell's palsy, kidney damage, liver damage, in my own circle, so many people are sick and none of their doctors are telling them that these are vaccine related symptoms. But I know from having you know, gone over and edited these reports, that every one of these symptoms, which are so on the rise, like visibly on the rise, along with excess deaths, are a result of these injections. So, for instance, you mentioned young adults dropping dead. On the athletic field, Pfizer knew the SEC filing in 2021 of BioNTech, the subsidiary that creates the injection, describes dropping, you know, falling from a height as one of the symptoms. And you weren't told that. And so many people have fallen, right? I know half a dozen people have just dropped, like fallen and injured themselves, fallen and, you know, hurt themselves. That's a symptom. But the myocarditis in young adults, the FDA, the CDC, working on behalf of Pfizer, they were informed in April of 2021 by the Israeli Ministry of Health that young adults and minors were sustaining heart damage from the injection. Instead of telling us, one of our lawyers FOIA'd every mention of myocarditis from the White House and got a shocking set of documents, which Senator Johnson is going to be pursuing in hearings. And these show that instead of sitting down and warning the parents of America not to inject their kids with this or their young adults because it caused heart damage, there was a flurry, and the people who are emailed and emailing back are Dr. Walensky, Dr. Fauci, Alex Azar, the head of HHS, Dr. Collins, and 15 White House staffers, like the most senior people. And what they're doing is freaking out to cover up the information. And they produced a 17-page report script that is completely redacted that they used, you'll recall, in all of that summer and fall of 2021 in this huge push to tell kids to get injected, young adults to get. And they're dropping dead from myocarditis. Exactly.
I can't wait to read it. The Pfizer papers, Pfizer's crimes against humanity. Dr. Naomi Wolf, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Take care.
Absolutely valuable information. And we're going to get to a quick break. I got Shannon Bream coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned.
What we're going to do has already been done. There are over 100 people from across the intelligence community that contributed to and participated in this. What is really just an egregious violation of trust, what to speak of like basic rules and standards around professionalism.
Shannon is gonna hurt.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday.
All right, thrilled to have Shannon back on the phone. That was Tulsi Gabbard, our DNI, talking about quickly firing 100 people. Shannon, when I looked at this story, I'm like, this can't be real. Some of the content they were discussing in public chat rooms within the DNI. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it went quickly from PG-13 to sort of R, maybe even past that.
Yes.
I think it was a surprise to most taxpayers that people would be doing this allegedly on government time. So you're paying them to have these conversations that were very explicit, do not seem work-related. And, you know, some of the reporting is that it was being done under the guise of inclusivity, DEI. These were chat rooms where people who had shared experiences could have these common conversations. But the new team, the new sheriff in town says, no, not what you need to be doing on the government clock.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Boy, that cabinet meeting yesterday was something to watch. Elon Musk in the room talking about death threats. I mean, I guess I suspected he was probably getting death threats. That's the first time I'd heard him admit it.
Well, yeah, and here in Washington, there's been a lot of chatter that, you know, you see him move about, and he's got an incredible security presence with him that's said to kind of only rival the president and vice president. But listen, first of all, you're the richest man in the world, so that's going to make you a target. You've got these beautiful children that people worry about. Bad actors would want to get access to them, and now you're doing all kinds of things to upend the establishment, the way that Washington works, and that upsets a lot of people. So, you know, he seemed to say, these risks are worth it to me because I feel like our country is in trouble and going to go bankrupt if we don't do some of these things. So, yes, I know I'm a target. And yes, I've got a lot of security.
So that email that was supposedly sent to federal workers asking them to submit the 5 things that they did last week, he was saying, you know, this really isn't a performance check. I know you were tweeting about this. It's more of a pulse check, that if your job is essential, you're doing it well, you're not likely going to be cut. I mean, is that what you're hearing? Because it seems like, well, understandably, if you're a federal worker, you're now worried that your line is on the job, or your job, rather, is on the line.
Right. And being here in this area, I do hear anecdotally from people and neighbors and friends and family who are really worried about their jobs. Or, I heard the story of one who was caught up and kind of dismissed as a probationary employee, had been at the agency for like 15 years, but within a couple of days was completely reinstated. And, you know, that gets kind of Elon's point. Yeah, they're going to make mistakes because they're moving very quickly. They're painting with a very broad brush in some of these situations. But this individual related that they were able to quickly flag, like, hey, I shouldn't have been caught up in this group, quickly reinstated. And so Elon said, we can move because we're moving in such a, unencumbered way that we can quickly fix our mistakes. And a lot of, you know, folks that are concerned say, you know, I hope I don't get caught up in this, but if I can show that I'm essential and I'm doing my job, hopefully I survive.
Yeah, no kidding. Shannon Bream, our guest. Shannon, we knew there'd be legal challenges. Obviously, they're filing them all over the place. It sometimes seems very clear that they're judge shopping, so to speak. And the one judge who issued this stay on Trump and the pay to foreign aid contractors wasn't a Biden appointee. The Supreme Court kind of smacked him down, didn't they?
Yeah, last night there was a midnight deadline because this lower court judge had ordered the administration, you better start disbursing these federal funds for foreign policy issues. And they had gone to the Supreme Court in a last-ditch effort late yesterday to say, like, hey, can you stay this lower court's decision? We think it's wrong. We think ultimately we're going to win. So the Chief Justice did last night before this midnight deadline say, whoa, we're putting a pause on this whole thing. You don't have to get the money out the door tonight. But court acting like it's going to act very quickly. They've told the opposing side, file your objections by noon Friday. That is rocket speed for the Supreme Court.
Sure.
So it could be that again by Friday afternoon, we have another decision in this case. But for now, that lower court ruling saying you got to disperse the federal funds for foreign policy is on hold.
Do you agree that some of these lower courts are overstepping their bounds with executive authority?
Well, I mean, it's going to ultimately be up to the Supreme Court about how far that executive power reaches. And they're going to have a lot of cases to choose from if they're waiting for one to tee it up with them with a very clean question. So, you know, a couple of things have gotten there, but I think the big stuff is still yet to come. And I think that's going to be the legal story of this second administration of the Trump administration is going to be how far does that executive power reach? And there is caution from both sides of the aisle, folks saying, listen, you may love it when it's your president in charge, but you got to remember that you're creating new precedents for the next president or a president down the line who may not share your party affiliation.
Yeah, great point. Shannon, we'll be watching a Sunday as always. Thank you for all you do.
See you then. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Yep, you appreciate it. Shannon Bream will be on. Great interview with Pete Hegseth last week. And then, of course, he was on with Ingram yesterday down in Guantanamo. Good stuff. Coming up, we're going to get to our buddy Griff Jenkins. We'll find out where in the world Griff is reporting from this morning. We'll be right back.
Said last week that you have the Epstein files on your desk. Is when can we see them and what's taking so long to release them?
I do. Jesse, there are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims. 200. So we have over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins. He's not on Epstein Island. We know that, right?
Griff. Yeah, that's right. I can confirm Griff Jenkins' name will not show up on a flight log aboard the Lolita Express, as it was called, flying to that island. But look, buckle up and get your popcorn ready. It's quite clear in that teaser from AG Pam Bondi to Jesse last night that we could see some shocking stuff and certainly names, which, you know, if some names shock us, it'll put a lot of scrutiny on those individuals to clearly explain why they were at that island and what they were doing there. And it's really fascinating. Like, as I've kind of been laying this out this morning, this is also one of those promises made, promises kept situations, because my great colleague, Rachel Campos Duffy, who anchors the weekend Fox and Friends, it all started when then candidate Trump was pressed by her, "Will you release Epstein info if elected?" And he indicated he was open to it. Then, of course, you know, he last month signed the executive order calling on agencies like DOJ, FBI to release secret documents, not only on Epstein, but JFK and MLK. And now we know, in fact, Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna posted a letter last night saying that she's gotten a letter back from the DOJ saying they're going to do this. And this morning, Senator Marsha Blackburn, who on the Senate side was hounding Bondi and now Cash Patel for these Epstein records, is saying that she's excited that we're getting to see it, and that this is only to whatever we get today. We don't have a timeline for it. Could come any moment. Could come while I'm talking to you. But this will be a phase one release, and then there's more to come out.
My, I have to say, the reaction is going to be epic. But one of my favorite clips I've seen so far on Facebook, it was a clip from Forrest Gump when he starts his long run, and it said Tom Hanks as they start to release this list. Now, I don't know if he's on there or not, but there's been a lot of speculation that a lot of names that are going to surprise us took that airplane ride to Epstein Island.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we shall see if Run, Forrest, Run shows up there or not.
I don't know.
There is, it points, it highlights, Mark, there's so much speculation around it. And, you know, I was talking with Kayleigh McEnany on Outnumbered last week, and we were talking about, you know, the release of this stuff. And there's speculation around Epstein, but also the JFK and MLK secret documents. And it has one interesting thing that hopefully will be a takeaway with our Gen Z folks and our younger viewers, which is they've grown up and only lived in this era of speculation rife on social media and TikTok and everywhere else. They're actually going to see, wow, actually, this Trump administration, this president, actually let me see the actual facts.
It
may go a long way in sort of in a sort of, you know, separate, I guess you would say, it restores, if you will, some public confidence among younger voters in the transparency of their government.
I just hope that there's actually meat to these files, because we were told they'd be releasing the JFK stuff, which they did, right? Or at least the initial part of it, but it didn't really have much. There was so much of it that was redacted. So I feel like there's all this buildup and this hype, and we think we're going to see all this juicy stuff, and then it's kind of like womp womp.
Oh, Kim, you're in that nothing's good enough for you.
That's right.
You raise a great point. And, you know, look, it's highly likely, if Marsha Blackburn's getting out there telling me already that it's just a phase one release and more is coming, that sort of, you know, maybe padding that it won't be as bombshelly as we'd like it. But she also, in the same breath, told me that, look, this is going to allow us to start breaking apart this, you know, global sex trafficking ring worth billions of dollars in business to Epstein. And as she said, you know, get some justice for these victims, these young girls that were, you know, abused. What's unclear is kind of how this will impact Ghislaine Maxwell, who you remember was sentenced to 20 years for her role in covering up and
right,
coordinating these girls for Epstein. We're not sure what that may do, and whether you could see maybe a domino effect that could compel her black book to get out there.
Well, I'm not asking you to speculate on this, but my thought on it is that Maxwell has kind of sacrificed herself, because you would think she had enough dirt on anybody. She could have turned state's witness and probably reduced her criminal time if she had released some of these names. Why was the Biden administration so set on protecting the people on this list? I mean, there's so many questions here.
That raises a great question. And, you know, she did take the fall, clearly. You know, allowing herself to go to jail for 20 years is pretty much taking the fall in my book. But what we don't know is what her motivation for taking that fall was.
Yeah.
for all we know, and this adds to the speculation, Mark Cox style, is did she fear for her life?
I mean,
remember, there's a lot of questions remaining about whether or not Epstein did commit suicide in 2019. Then you get to 2022, that's when Maxwell gets busted and takes the fall. And so, you know, the release of these names, while it will certainly be very sensational for the public appetite, you wonder whether it does put anyone in danger. And certainly the repeated disclaimers that they're trying to protect the names and identities of the victims, nothing could be more important.
I mean, that just tells you how high profile some of the names are. She would, if she ever ratted anybody out, she would have to go into the witness protection program, and
sure,
that might not even be enough.
Well, and the thing you have to assume, and maybe this is wrong, but everything about that guy was icky. I mean, that picture he had of Bill Clinton in a blue dress in his mansion in New York. We don't know what went on in that island, but you know people weren't just going there to sun themselves on the beach. That seems fairly obvious.
Yeah, look, if it were just to get some sun, R&R, and take a dip in the pool and put your toes in the sand, he would have just opened up an Epstein hotel.
Yes.
But he didn't, you know? He was taking private, powerful individuals there, and so, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to find out. But one thing is for sure, that if it drops sometime here today, and we think it could come at any time, I'm going to get whisked on the air right away to talk about it. So you'll see me struggling to process what we're getting in real time.
I'll be watching the breaking news, Griff. We certainly appreciate it, my friend. High time.
Sounds good.
Yep. Have a good time.
Sounds good, guys. Stay tuned. Get your popcorn ready.
We will do it. Thank you. Griff Jenkins, live there in D.C., ready to get his hands on the Epstein client list, or not client list, I guess list of people who were at the island.
So let's just say that, first of all, in this first round, I think it would be far less high-profile names that would be listed. Yeah. People
I think
that are
going to release the list.
The whole thing?
Well, I mean, if some of the people on the list are victims, you're not going to see those names.
No.
But unless they're perceived to have been a victim of what happened there, the public deserves to know. And,
no, they do
and
deserve
then,
it.
And then
to
let
know,
the Hollywood star or the rap star or the
former president,
country music star or former president, let them have to go on camera and explain why they were there. Because we know he went there and kept underage girls there for sex parties. Why else were you there? You weren't there to negotiate a business deal. You could have done that in his house in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that release it all and, you know, damn the torpedoes, so to speak.
I want them to release it all. I'm just not holding my breath on that. But what happens? Like, if we see Bill Clinton's name on
was it
Prince Harry? Which one of the, wasn't it Prince Harry? One of the princes. Like, this isn't just the United States. Like,
no,
this was it Carl?
No, it was
you
the
would
oldest
know.
Guy.
The
it was
William?
The older brother.
Prince William?
It?
No, it was the
Andrew.
Brother. Andrew.
Andrew.
Oh,
Prince,
Andrew. Okay.
Andrew.
I get them all confused.
Not the kids. These are people our age.
This is like worldwide. This has impacts. And oh my gosh, people are going into hiding right now. If they have a bunker and they paid the thousands of dollars we've discovered that people are paying for some of these underground bunkers,
mm-hmm,
they're going there right now.
Wow.
Do you think any names are still going to be protected?
You got to wonder what if one of them's like a cabinet member now or something.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that. I'm just throwing that out there.
Can you imagine if Trump's name was on that?
Maybe that's why the
their pictures
Biden
of them,
was protecting them. These were donors or something.
I'm not. I didn't vote for Trump because he's a stand-up guy. The dude has done some slimy stuff. I would never tell my children to look up to that man. Now, do I think he's a good president and can run the country well? Absolutely. But that guy has made some serious.
He's done some gross things.
He had his own plane. He didn't need a ride.
But he didn't. There's no evidence he went there, but we'll see whose name is on there. Stay tuned. That could be the lead story here on the Annie Fry Show at noon, if indeed that breaks this morning, or certainly on the Kilmeade Show, which is coming up next. All right, quick break here. We'll be back in just a minute.
We need to change the conversation, and that's why I'm launching a new podcast. And this is going to be Anything But the Ordinary Politician podcast. I'm going to be talking to people directly that I disagree with, as well as people I look up to. But more important than anything else, I'll be talking directly with you, the listener. Real conversations, What's going on with the cost of eggs? What are the impacts, real impacts to you around tariffs?
All right. I've had enough. I don't need to listen to Gavin Newsom starting his own podcast. The guy is starved for attention. Like the governor in the state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, who you know is already running for president, right?
Do you think he really stands any chance?
It frightens me. I didn't think he stood a chance when he ran for governor. I didn't. When they were investigating Rod Blagojevich for trying to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat in the state of Illinois, they have FBI recordings, because he was wiretapped, talking to J.B. Pritzker, who wanted the job. Like, J.B. Pritzker was involved in the talks to get the job because he knew Blagojevich was trying to sell the Senate seat. So he's been deeply mired in the corruption in the state of Illinois forever, and yet he somehow still got elected as governor of that state twice now, I believe. But I just don't understand his appeal.
I agree. I don't get it either. But, I mean, being a governor of a state is very different than being likable enough to be president. Look at Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I understand he was running against Donald Trump, so he probably didn't stand a chance, but I don't think he had quite the likability that he needed to be the candidate, the Republican candidate, but I think he stands a good chance of being elected, like the Republicans picking him at least to represent them as governor in Ohio, which he's just declared.
You know, obviously the Democrats picked Joe Biden, an 80-year-old white man, to be president, and wanted to get him reelected until they finally admitted the fact, along with Jake Tapper, that he was too demented. And then they were thrilled to have a black woman to promote, who got drubbed in the national election because she didn't have the gravitas to be president of the United States. Among other things, she didn't have to be president of the United States. They are so driven by their addiction to political correctness that I don't know if the Democrats will vote for a white J.B. Pritzker or a white Gavin Newsom in the next election round. They're going to insist, just like the DNC, that they have to have a certain number of people who are white and purple and black and green and yellow on the committees, or you can't have a committee.
Which makes me wonder why Gavin Newsom is rolling out this podcast now, because we all know that surely Kamala Harris is going to announce her bid for governor of California.
It's got to be.
He has something up his sleeve. There's a reason he's doing this.
Maybe right he's now. On the Epstein list.
Oh God.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll find out later today who's on there. Lots of speculation. Stay tuned to 97.1 FM Talk. If that story breaks throughout the day, you will promise you we'll have it on here for you. Kilmeade's coming up next. We'll see you back here Friday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.